I just feel the sunshine just beaming in this room today in the presence of the Lord. And I want to kind of dive into the Word this morning. But before I do, I want to just tell you something that I feel so strongly in my spirit. I've been feeling it for some time now. And I just got to pause, hit time out just for a second and tell you, I don't know that last song they sang. I don't know. Is that the first time we've ever done that song here? Because I've never heard it before. But I want to tell you something. If you are in this room today, and as they began, Kayla led us in the verses of that song, and she began to sing the words of that song. I didn't know it, so I'm just standing there reading the words as she's singing it. And if you're like me today, you kind of went down memory lane just for a moment. Did anybody else in here besides me just kind of reflect back just for a moment? And I remembered some key moments and places in my life. God, just standing there just a few minutes ago, took me to some key crucial places and moments in my life when I was in desperate need of the mercy and the grace of God. I knew I wouldn't make it through that day if I didn't have an encounter and a visitation with Him, if He didn't begin to speak into my life. And I know across this room, there are those in this room. And I just, if you haven't done it, if you didn't do it during that song, I encourage you right now just to let the Holy Spirit begin to take you to that place. And maybe, just maybe, you walked into this room today in desperate need. Maybe you are at that crucial place in your life right now. I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit of God is here to speak to and minister and come right up in your driveway and meet you right where you are and pour His mercy and His grace and His power into your life. That life-changing, that transforming power of God. I love what David said in Psalm 23. He closes out that song by saying it's His mercy and His goodness. It follows me all the days of my life. You don't have to go looking for it. You don't have to go try to find it. You don't have to try to get, as Landy said earlier, you don't have to get good enough to get it. He is pursuing you today, and He's just saying, just stop for a minute and let my love and my mercy and my grace overtake you and overshadow you today. If you need it today, it's here for you. He is here for you. Amen. Are you ready to go home? Are you ready to go home, or are we want to hear a little bit more word today? Because we just got a sermon. We just got a sermon through the song and what God is speaking to us. I truly believe, and I've been feeling this for some time in my heart, in my spirit. Maybe it's due to all of the things that we're seeing going on in our world and around us in society, in our nation, and literally around the globe, the turmoil, the division, the brokenness, the darkness. Maybe it's due to all of that. I don't know, but I just feel like in my spirit that we are literally on the threshold of the greatest revival that the Church of the Living God has ever seen. I just feel it in my spirit. Even as simple as when we gather together, I hear people tell me every week, I just feel like something is getting ready to break loose, even within our church family, even in our time of worship. Like, we're just right there on the threshold of, there's a hunger and there's this desire for God to work and move in our world around us. And I believe, look, we're all entitled to our opinions, and I have my opinions, and with my friends and closest companions and different, I'll share some of my opinions. I wish things would go this way, and things have gotten this way, and I'll bellyache a little bit about the things that's going on around us and the things I don't agree with. We're all entitled to those opinions. We're all entitled to have our own convictions and thoughts about the things that's going on in the world around us. But we cannot let ourselves cross over into the place where we all of a sudden begin to think that our answer, that the healing, that the revival that we need is going to come because of something political that changes, or because some society all of a sudden changes and becomes this moral place and all of that. No, everything I study in God's Word and everything I see, that it's only going to get darker. It's only going to get worse in the world. But as the world grows darker, we have to be very careful that we don't let the church grow darker with them. That we begin to talk the same dialogue, that we begin to utter the same kind of rhetoric, even if we're on the quote right side. Because we can be wrong with the right position. We can have the right stance on something and we can have a wrong spirit, and that makes the whole thing wrong. But as the world grows darker, the church of the living God must rise up to the occasion. It is our turn, folks. It's time to rise up and shine like we are supposed to shine. And our shining is not because, oh, I'm standing on the moral high ground and I have it all right. I got all the right answers. And as soon as everybody becomes like we are, no. We rise up with that mercy and that grace and the love of God that we've just sang about and talked about today. I really believe it's about to happen. Now are you ready to go home? That was sermon number two. But it leads into what I wanted to share with you today. Because I believe that God is all powerful, and I believe that God has a plan and he has a purpose for his church, and I believe that there's a plan for the world today, and I believe that there are some great things that are ahead of us as his church, and ultimately for the world to reveal him to a world that is so hungering for him, for so hungering for something, and they don't even know what it is. We know what the answer is. We have the secret sauce, if you will. And so I realize that as all-powerful as he is, that there is something he has placed upon us. We have a part in this. He has chosen to partner with his church here on the earth. We have a part in it. It's not just a matter of us just going through the motions. It's not just a matter of us getting through this thing called life. If we are here and we are breathing, there's a purpose there. In Luke chapter 5, we find this story. Simon had fished all night and he had caught nothing. And now he's over here and he's cleaning his nets. And Jesus is borrowing one of Simon's boats, and he is kind of off of the shoreline just a little bit, using the boat as a platform while he teaches the people who have gathered there. And as Jesus is concluding his teaching on that day, he looks over and he sees Simon cleaning the nets. And because he knew Simon and he loved Simon, he saw that Simon was beat down and he was weary and he was discouraged. He had fished all night and he had caught nothing. And Jesus simply makes this little statement to Simon. Sounds pretty simple, but it was a huge request. Jesus said to Simon, he says, "Won't you go fishing again?" He said, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And there's where I want to pick up the story. It's in chapter 5 of Luke. Verse 5, this was Simon's response. He said, "But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing.'" And then it's this next word. As a matter of fact, it was a couple of years ago, I was preaching a sermon from this very text, and it was a whole different message, a whole different word, everything, and I got to that one word, the next word, and all of a sudden, that one word began to leap off the page at me, and the whole message changed from that point forward, all on one word. Now, that's a word in itself for somebody. God has a word for you, and it may just be one word. So Simon said to him, he says, "We've toiled all night, we've caught nothing. Nevertheless," everybody say that with me, "nevertheless, at your word." Nevertheless, in other words, forget everything I said up to this point. This is how I'm looking at this moving forward. That's basically what "nevertheless" means. He says, "at your word." Another version says, "because you say so." For that reason and that reason only. All of the logic tells me this. All of my professional rationale tells me this. But because you, Jesus, said this, nevertheless, no matter what my intellect tells me, no matter what my logic tells me, nevertheless, because you say so, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. These fishermen went from 1 hour, they have no fish after fishing all night long, there's no fish, to now 2 boats full the very next hour. If this was an incredible miracle moment, right when they thought that it was time to quit, God caused this miracle moment to happen in their lives. God took what looked like a hopeless situation for them and completely turned it around. And rather than them going home that day with nothing, they were instead headed to the market with two boatloads of fish. I really want us as a church today, as individuals today, I want us to get stirred up about these heaven-initiated miracle moments that brings answers to prayers in our lives. These heaven-initiated moments that opens doors of opportunity in our lives. These moments, these miracle moments that bring answers to prayer for provision, for healing, maybe in your spirit, in your mind, in your body, in your relationship, for restoration. These moments that bring about miraculous change. Anybody in this room besides me hungering and desperately longing for the miraculous hand of God in our lives? And I'm not just talking about feed me, feel me, fix the things I want fixed. I'm talking about those heaven-initiated, powerful moments in our lives that change us forever. We know that God is all-powerful. We know that He is the only miracle worker. He's the only one who can turn things around in our lives. However, we are learning that these miracle moments in our lives must begin where? In us. They have to begin in us. It doesn't begin out here. It doesn't work from the outside in. It works from the inside out. And sometimes just a change on our part. See, there's things, we know that God's all powerful, but there's things that we can do. God has equipped us with things that we can do to initiate these things in our lives. Maybe just a small change, a transformation of something that we have the power to do. We have the power to control. He gave us that. Maybe it's a change in my attitude. Just a change of attitude or a change in our routine. I had planned on, and my whole intent today was to preach a message about habits and developing godly habits and new habits in our lives. But sometimes it's just a matter of making a change in our routine or our habit, our attitude, changing our perspective, the way that we look at something. I've been looking at it this way, and it's not gotten me anywhere looking. So now maybe I need to look to God's Word. Maybe I need to begin to filter everything through the Word of the Lord and through prayer and change my perspective. Some of us in this room, we need to change our hearts. There's things clouding us in our hearts. Maybe it's some unforgiveness or some bitterness or something in our past. And we have the choice. We have the power to let that go. God has given us that power to make these small changes. Changes in our choices. We make choices every day. And maybe if we make some changes that God has given us, He's empowered us with the ability to make these choices. Maybe these are the things that would be the step of faith on our part, the catalyst, if you will then position us in a place to experience the miraculous in our lives. Going back to our story, when Jesus says to Simon, go fishing, this was a very out-of-the-norm request on Jesus'. This would not be the normal dialogue between Jesus and the professional fisherman. Jesus, the non-fisherman, he didn't give fishing instructions to the professional fisherman. Jesus dealt with the kingdom stuff, and Simon dealt with the fishing industry. They each knew their lane. They knew what road they were supposed to be on individually. And considering the fact that the professional fisherman had already fished all night and caught nothing, believe you me, Simon knew better. From a professional and a logical standpoint, he knew better. This wasn't a normal request. This wasn't some ordinary thing that Jesus was asking Simon to do. Let me just say it this way. If God is calling us to do something out of our norm for Him, it's because He wants to do something miraculous for us. Can I say that one more time? If God is challenging us or compelling us or calling us to do something that's outside of our ordinary and our normal, it's because he wants to do something miraculous and extraordinary for us. One thing I've discovered in my relationship with God is this. I don't know it all, but in my nearly half a century, I've discovered this, that what he wants more than anything for me is for me to be able to develop and have a faith in him and his word in my life. More than fixing all my issues, more than this thing playing out, or him blessing me with this thing or that thing or the other, more than anything, the very foundation, the very crux of it all has to be my faith in him and his word. I believe in him, but do I believe what he tells me to do? It won't always be about my convenience either. It won't always be about my preference, but it will always be putting me in a position to experience something that's greater, something that's bigger, something that's better, something that's heaven sent, something that is out of the ordinary, something miraculous. It will always be positioning me for that. It is always about God working all things together, bringing all the pieces together so that truly all things do really work together for the good. What happens is, though, is we get discouraged. Sometimes we get discouraged with the lack of results. Well, I prayed this. I was believing for this. I was standing on this, and it didn't happen. So now, because of lack of results, we find ourselves discouraged. And we often, in those moments, will jump to conclusions and we'll quit. One way or another, we'll quit. We throw in the towel. Our marriage isn't going well, so we think of quitting. People quit school. People quit jobs. They quit going to church. People will just leave. They will escape, and they quit. That's what we do as humans. That's what we do in human nature, is that when it's not working, when it's not being fixed the way I want it to, when I'm not getting the results that I want, that means I must be supposed to do something else. I must be supposed to go somewhere else. But unless God tells me to, so people run. They leave, they escape, they quit. That's what we do because we're not getting the results that we thought we were going to get. What I believe God really wants is for us to simply make a nevertheless move in some slight way from the way that we've always done it. I believe that his desire for us is to make a move out of the ordinary. You've heard the old saying over and over again, if you want something different, you gotta do something different. You've heard it. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. I wonder what that ordinary little small thing is. Our ordinary way of thinking, our normal plans and reactions, a nevertheless move from our ordinary and our ordinary perspective and our ordinary attitude. I hope that right now we are listening to the Holy Spirit for what our move is. What is your move? What is my move? What is that next move, that nevertheless move? It doesn't make any rational sense. It doesn't make any logical sense. Everything in my professional mind tells me I'm not supposed to do that, but there's something that's happening inside of me. There's a nudging inside of me, and the Holy Spirit is compelling me to do something that's outside of my norm. What is that for you? I hope that today you're not hearing a man preach behind a pulpit and these words. I hope that somehow the Holy Spirit is coming and speaking to you and nudging you and compelling you to that next place, that next move, that out of the ordinary, that nevertheless move. Because I believe he knows that if we can make the nevertheless move out of our norm, it opens up the miraculous that he and only he can do in our lives. I truly believe that God desires to do the extraordinary, but it often begins with the nevertheless move in us. In us. I love it, and I quote it all the time, Ephesians 3:20. To him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all, more than we could ever ask or think or imagine. But it's the next phrase in that same verse, according to the power that works within us. He's already put something inside of us. He's already equipped us with that ability to make that nevertheless move. Many times we've been guilty of giving up in a place of discouragement. I've done it. Or in a place where we're not seeing the results that we thought we should see. And let me just say this, we're not stuck there because God wants us to quit. Many times we're stuck because God is asking us in that moment, that crucial moment, to do something out of the ordinary, because in that moment he wants to do something extraordinary for us. So I hope that we could all be open today. And let's be ready. Let's be willing and ready to act on God's word, on his guidance, on his instruction, even when it goes against everything that makes logical and rational sense to us. When he's compelling us, when he's calling us to move into an area or direction that is out of our normal, he is actually repositioning us. He's actually putting us in a place and positioning us for what he has in mind for our future. For Simon that day, it was just simply reloading his nets that he had just cleaned after a tired and a weary night, putting them back in the boat, getting back out into the water, going out in the deep, physically exhausted, mentally depleted. And here's the other thing. This is something to take close note of when God is speaking to us and he's compelling us and he's calling us. Here's the other thing that didn't happen with Simon that day. Jesus didn't promise him the results either. He just told Simon to go fishing again. He didn't tell him ahead of time. He didn't say, well, if you go back out there, go ahead and tell your buddies to come with you because you're going to load up two boats of fish. No. All he said was, launch out into the deep and lay your nets down again. This thing that was totally irrational, this thing that had no logic, no professional would ever do this after a whole night of catching nothing. But Jesus didn't give him the results. He didn't tell him the outcome. He just gave him his word. And it was that step of faith where Simon said, I don't feel like doing this. Everything in my emotions is telling me not to do this. Everything in my professional opinion is telling me not to do this. My body, my mind, everything inside of me is telling me this is not what to do. But nevertheless, because you said so, Jesus, I will. God's guidance and direction for our lives may not always be the most convenient. In fact, many times we may not like it one bit. He may be calling us today. There may be some of us in this room today that he's calling us to go ask forgiveness from someone for an area where we have an offense in our lives. We may not even be the one in the wrong, but now the feeling that we have toward the person or that situation or that unforgiveness that we're carrying around has now caused us to be the one in the wrong. And now God is compelling some of us in this room. He's calling us. He's saying, launch out. Launch out into the deep. I know it doesn't make sense right now. I know you have all the arguments in your mind as to why you should or should not do what I'm calling you to do. But I'm calling you to launch out into the deep. And I don't know what it may be for you in this room today. But it will most likely be something that you're not real comfortable with. It's going to be something that's outside of your norm. It's going to be something that goes against your ordinary. It will probably be something that within yourself you don't even want to do. Just know that God is nudging us to make a nevertheless move that is out of our ordinary so that it opens up a world of the extraordinary in our lives that only he can do. My next point is this. What feels like the end of the story may just be the beginning of a new chapter. It may feel like it's the end of the story. It may feel like it's the end of the book right now. But I promise you, if you're still alive and you're still breathing right now, I can promise you it ain't over till God says it's over. It more than likely is just the beginning of a new chapter. Think about what this was like for Simon. This was the morning after a long night of trying his best and having nothing to show for it. He's given up now on something that he's worked hard for. In this moment, he's discouraged, he's tired, and he's weary. I want to encourage all of us today not to allow a season of weariness and tiredness and discouragement to cause us to miss out on what God has in store for our life and our future. So many times we're guilty of just allowing our weariness to determine our actions, and worse, our reactions. We allow our busyness to stop us from doing something that God is actually calling us to do. There's going to be seasons in our life where we feel like nothing is happening, nothing is working, nothing's going right. Seasons where we're tired and we're weary. Seasons when we feel like we just want to check out of it all. But this is when we got to have a nevertheless in our spirit. This is when we got to say, nevertheless, God, at your word. Simon said, I fished all night. I've already done that, Jesus. Are you blind? I know you got to sleep all night, Jesus. I was out there fishing all night, and I don't have anything to show for it. I'm tired and I'm weary. Nevertheless, because you say so, I will. It's in these tired and weary seasons of life, more than ever, that we need a nevertheless word inside of us. I wish that we could just speak to ourselves and develop that nevertheless. I'm going to keep doing what you told me to do. I'm going to keep obeying you. I'm going to keep coming to church and worshiping you. I'm going to keep praising you. I'm going to keep trusting you. I'm going to choose to start my morning with a song, and I'm going to proclaim the word of God over my life, over my children, over our future, over our community, over our world. I'm not going to allow tiredness and weariness to cause me to miss out on what God is doing in this season of my life. I hope I'm not the only one today. I hope I'm among friends today when I tell you that I have found myself in seasons of life where I was literally imprisoned to the situation and the circumstance. I was imprisoned to the emotion and the feeling of the moment. I was imprisoned, and I could not experience all that God was doing all around me because I was singularly focused on what the drama and the problem and the issue or the loss or the pain of that moment and that day was. All the while, God was working. He was speaking. He was compelling. He was nudging me. I'm thankful that grace and mercy never quit pursuing me, even during those seasons. And there was a day that came when finally my eyes were open, and I found the key, and that key was that nevertheless in my spirit that said, nevertheless, at your word, God, I will move forward. I will do what you've placed in my heart to do. The key that opens up those prison cell doors is a nevertheless in our spirit. Galatians 6:9 tells us, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season. Another version says, at the right time we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Don't allow the fact that you're tired and it's just not working to be a sign that you're supposed to quit. Then, more than ever, is the time to plant our feet. Then, more than ever, is a time to say, nevertheless, Lord, at your word. When God laid out the plan for your life, he lined up the right people at the right time, at the right place. He lined up the right breaks. He lined up the right opportunities. You and I don't know. You have no idea what is just around the corner when we move past that season of weariness in our lives. There's a book came out, I don't know, 20-something years ago by an author by the name of Malcolm Gladwell. Many of you, he's become real popular lately with a podcast. It's very very popular right now. Revisionist History is the name of the podcast. But this book became very popular. The title of the book is The Tipping Point. The Tipping Point. The tagline is how little things can make a big difference. The Tipping Point. And in that book, he gives some stories and illustrations. And one particular story that he told was how that the company Hush Puppy. I heard a preacher 20 years ago share this story, and it stuck with me ever since. As a matter of fact, it was from this very book, and the very sermon that was preached out of this book is where I got the famous line that you've heard me say over and over and over again here, and many of you have quoted it back to me, how that God has a plan and he has a purpose, but getting from here to there, sometimes it's hell in the hallway. You've heard that quote that we've used over and over again. It comes from this same inspiration, this same place. But in the message that Bishop Garlington preached from speaking from this book, he spoke that this is that tipping point is that moment of breakthrough just before breakdown. The tipping point. It's that moment where one more decision, one more nevertheless inside of my spirit, one more get up inside of me that pushes me over the tipping point just before I was about to lose it all. But God was saying, you got one more nevertheless inside. You got one more step inside. You got one more choice inside of you. I didn't even plan on sharing this, but the story that came out of that book that I heard so many times over and over again was the company Hush Puppy. You maybe remember the shoes, Hush Puppies. They kind of had a little resurgence here a while back, a few years back, 10 or 12 years ago, I think it was. But what happened was the company Hush Puppy they were real popular back, I think, during the time when, the Great Depression and stuff. They were basically just making these little canvas shoes that were real cheap made and easy to, could sell very cheap, and it was good for the time and the season. And it got to a point where Hush Puppy was about to experience bankruptcy, and they were about to close their doors, and it was all going to be over with for Hush Puppy. But somewhere in Greenwich Village, they were getting ready for a party, and some kid goes into a consignment shop. And he goes in there and he sees these old shoes sitting there on the shelf. And he goes and he says, no, those are some cool looking shoes. And he buys the shoes, these used shoes from a consignment store. He goes to the big party that night in Greenwich Village. And they're all looking at his shoes. Say, man, those are some cool shoes. Where'd you get those shoes? And he tells them about the consignment store. They all run to the consignment store. Immediately, the guy from the consignment store calls Hush Puppy. Says, we need some shoes. Hush Puppy starts making shoes. And before you know it, Hush Puppy saw another resurgence again. See, they were right there at the tipping point. But one choice, one decision, one person putting those shoes on was the tipping point. It was the moment of breakthrough just before breakdown. There may be some in this room right now, and you feel bankrupt. You feel like this is your moment of breakdown. This is the worst it's ever been. I don't know if I can take another step. And I just believe that God brought you into this room this morning to hear this word, to say, no, son, no, daughter, you got one more step inside of you. You can make one nevertheless move, and it is going to unlock the promises and the miraculous in your life. God already has our yes planned out for us. We may have been told no over and over again, but God has the final say, and he says a yes is coming your way. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, for all, everyone say all, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. This is what's going to move us through a season of weariness, knowing that there is a yes that he has planned for us. We'll have to go through some no's. We're going to have to experience some closed doors. So there's some opportunities we're looking for that God says, that's not your opportunity. That's not your place. You're going to meet a closed door. There's going to be some no's. We'll have to knock on some closed doors that are not going to open before we get to our yes. I want to tell you something. I have this great appreciation for salesmen, especially salespeople. I'm going to be politically correct. For salespeople, especially cold call salespeople. Now, some of us work in industries where, you know, you're given a lead, and you know this person has an interest in the product you have, so you're just kind of walking the road. You just got to kind of sell the product for what something they already need. But the guy that has to go and knock on a door that he's never been to before, and he's got to convince the people on the other side of the door that they need something that they have never even thought about before. Now, I have mucho respect for people like that. That's a job. And they knock on one door that turns into 10 doors, that turns into 19 and 20 doors, but they know that on that, at least by that 30th door, there's going to be a yes, where they've been meeting no after no after no. We reach the end of the day. It's midnight. It's the darkest hour. It's the most hopeless and the most lonely hour. But know this, that the end of the day is just simply the beginning of a new day. It's the beginning of the next day. The end of the chapter is just simply the beginning of a new chapter. It's not the end of the story. It's a nevertheless move in the story. When you're reading a book and chapters change, it's not the end of the story. It's just a shift in the story. I'm closing. You know, around here, I love to I love to talk a lot about season, the power of season. And the truth of the matter is, if you live in Louisiana, we don't really know what season we're in from one day to the next. But there is this sort of natural change of season that happens. We go through the winter months. Nobody loves those hard, cold winters when you walk out in the morning and you just feel like all of your bones are just going to break in two. We move into spring that we all love, and the flowers are blooming, and the grass is starting to turn green again, and the weather's warming up, but still nice and cool and comfortable. We enter into those sweltering months of summer that we love. We love it when we go to the beach and we're at the pool, but we hate it when we're getting in our car to go to work. And then we move into the fall, that crisp wind, that cool wind, that fresh new wind that begins to blow in fall. And I see how we have this love-hate relationship with the seasons of the year, right? I love this season. I hate this season. This season is torturous to me. This season is the greatest season. And it's funny how it's different for different people. Some people love, love, love the summertime. Some of us love, love, love the winter. My thing is, I can always put more clothes on. I can only take so much off without getting arrested, okay? So, but we've come to know, and we realize now that it takes every single season. Every season has a purpose. Every season is doing something many times that you and I can't even see with the natural eye. There's something happening many times underneath the surface that the temperatures and the climate and the moisture, all of these things that each season brings is doing in and for our lives that we can't even see. And we're sometimes cursing seasons, and we're cursing things that we need desperately in our lives. The power of season. So let's not be cursing any season in our life. You may be in that cold winter month when it all feels hopeless and depression has set in, and it just seems like there's no escape out of this place. It's in that moment that we make the nevertheless moves. See, every one of these seasons, they have to happen. It's the only way our whole climate and world will work properly. But as we're going through these seasons, whatever season it is in your life today, if it's that hopeless, cold winter season right now, whatever the season is right now, we have to remember the promises from God's word. We have to stand on those promises. I love that one promise from Psalms 30 in verse 5 that says, weeping may endure for a night. But then there's a comma in the King James Version there. I believe that comma is the nevertheless. It's the nevertheless move. Weeping may endure for a night. Nevertheless, joy comes in the morning. I may be at midnight right now in the darkest hour, but guess what? It's just one more tick of the clock, and it's a new day. There's a shift. Joy comes in the morning. I love verse 11 of the same chapter. It says, You have turned from me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. What we think is the end with God is only the beginning. There may be some things in our lives that need to die. There may be some things in our lives that we need to have a burial for symbolically in our lives. There may be some things that we've been holding on to and hoping for, and God said, that's not part of your next chapter. We need to go ahead and mourn that thing and know that nevertheless, tomorrow, new life is coming. There's a new day coming. There's a miraculous thing that's going to happen in your life. What we think is the end with God is just the beginning. When we think something is over, God says, I'm taking you into a brand new season. This is not the time to give up. It's not the time to give up. There may be some of us in this room right now, that was the only word you needed to hear today. God brought you into this room just to hear that one statement. This is not the time to give up. You might have walked in here today ready to throw in the towel on your marriage and say, I'm done with it all. But God is saying to you today, this is not the time to give up. There is a nevertheless move still inside of you. You may be ready to throw your towel in on your faith. God, I've trusted and I've believed and I've prayed and I haven't seen the results just as it was with Simon when he didn't give him the results. But today you say, nevertheless, nevertheless, at your word. My final point is this: what feels like a little thing is oftentimes the big thing. It feels like the little thing, but really, just that one small, little, what seems insignificant move is really the big thing. Think about Simon. The thousands of times that he got into that boat and he went out into the water. It wasn't really a big thing that day. It really wasn't. He's done this thousands of times. Going out into the water and fishing, I know this, I can do this. This is not a big thing. But in his mind that day, and in the place that he was emotionally, the place that he was physically, the place that he was mentally that day, this was the biggest thing that Jesus could have asked of him. The thing that seemed like such a big thing was really just a little thing. We can't underestimate the power of the small things. They will often be the very thing that God will use to bring about the biggest miracles in our lives. Nevertheless, I don't know what that thing is for you. I'm just here to tell you today, to tell you that it doesn't have to be this big fireworks show. It doesn't have to be this big bombshell that drops from heaven, this brand new revelation, this new, incredibly big, powerful thing that I've never done before. No, no, it may be as simple as recommitting my heart and life and surrendering my life and heart and soul to God completely. It's a little thing, but it's the big thing. It may be as simple as having a conversation with my spouse when I get in the car today to say, you know what, I've been doing some things the wrong way. I've been looking at things the wrong way. I've been focused on the wrong things. And I'm gonna do the little thing by simply having this conversation and committing to you today that it's not over. As far as I'm concerned, it's never going to be over. It's the little thing, but it becomes the big thing. It becomes our great future and our children, a legacy for our children and our grandchildren. We're going to commit today as a family that we're going to serve the Lord all the days of our lives, no matter what comes. We're going to be faithful to the house of God. We're going to have our children in a place where they're absorbing and receiving and hearing God's word week in and week out. It's a little thing, but it's the big thing. So I don't know what it is for you today. I don't know. Only you and God knows. And that's the way it needs to be. But I'm believing that there's some incredible and powerful, miraculous things that are going to begin to happen in our homes, in our lives individually, but ultimately for the kingdom of God. And it begins in us. Would you stand with me today? Across this room, and they're going to lead us in a little time of worship before we go home today. And as they do, I'm going to pray for all of us in this room today. And then as they begin to sing, I want to open this altar area up. I want to give you an opportunity. It doesn't have to be at the front of a church, but I think there's something significant, maybe in your own heart and mind. God's compelling you and say, I want you to do something out of the ordinary. I want you to do something you don't normally do. You don't normally step out and walk out into an aisle, but today, for the purpose of, I'm nudging you, I'm calling you to do something out of the norm for you so that I can do something miraculous. When you begin to step out of that place, not the physical place, but that place of comfort, that place of the norm. So whatever it may be for you, I want to encourage you today to find a place. In these few closing moments that we have, find a place and let's begin to make the move, the nevertheless move in our lives. I promise you, if we'll make that move, it will change our lives forever. It will change our lives forever. It will change your future. It will change your home. It will change your relationships. It will alter the influence and the power that you have in the world that we're living in today, that God has equipped us with to advance his kingdom. I promise you it'll begin to happen when we just make the nevertheless move. So I'm going to pray, and they're going to sing. We're going to open these altars up and just give us a time today. Just give us all a time today to search our hearts. Let God compel us and call us and challenge us to what he would have us do. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, God, for calling us, God, from the norm. You didn't call us, God, just to live an average Joe life, God. You called us to greatness. You called us, Lord, to make a difference and an impact in the world around us. But so many times, God, we're guilty of being so encapsulated with our own little world and our own little issues. God, help us today, God, to take the key, God, that opens that prison cell, that opens up that capsule that we've been living in, to allow us, God, to move and work and walk in the miraculous, the powerful hand of God, to see your kingdom advanced, to see your kingdom come, God, to see revival begin to happen, first in our lives, second in our homes, in our church, in our community, and ultimately, God, for your church to shine in this world. Great church to rise up and be the beacon of light that you've called us to be, that literally changes a world. Thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, have your way in every life. Have your way in every life. Call us, God. Speak into our lives and our hearts today. Compel us, God, to the place that you would have us to be. And we will say yes. We will say yes. Our answer is yes, God. Nevertheless, at your word, we trust you, Lord.